at the life of Joseph and how he is a picture and a representative of Jesus throughout the Old Testament. Now remember, the reason we're doing this is because the world wants you to believe that you're part of a philosophy, and that's not true. Nor are you part of a religion. You are in a relationship with the Creator. You are in a relationship with the only God there is. So we are not a faith tradition, even though the military and the government refer to it that way. You see, we are not Judaism 2.0. We are not an upgrade to Judaism. We are the fulfillment of what God promised the Jewish people in the fact that they denied him at Calvary and he turned to the Gentile people. Now, we're not Israel. We do not get to claim the promises of Israel. We will never inhabit the land. That is not our place. We are Gentiles. But just like the Father in heaven will be married to the Jewish people, as you see in the Old Testament, Christ will be, we are his bride. When you read the Old Testament, you must ask yourself, where's Jesus in this? Because we would not believe the claims of Jesus had it not been for what's in the Old Testament. There are direct references. There are times when Jesus appeared to the people in the Old Testament. And then, of course, as we see today, there's types or pictures that foreshadow the Christ. And we see this in the life of Joseph. So if you got your Bible, keep your hand in Genesis, jump to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to read a few verses, and then we're going to start comparing and contrasting while comparing Jesus and Joseph. Look at what it says in Hebrews 11:22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Joseph was a man of faith. Joseph trusted in Jehovah God. And you know the story of Joseph. You need to teach your children the story of Joseph. Never, he was a teenager when God allowed him to be sold as a slave. He was a teenager and he did wonderful things. And by the time he was 30 years old, God had exalted him to number two in the nation of Egypt. Look at Hebrews 10 and verse number 38. The Bible says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Joseph walked with God through not only his teen years, but then on into his adult years. While going through incredibly difficult circumstances, he was never alone. And you, especially you military folks that go and do and have to deal with the horrible things of war, God was with you the whole time. You were not alone. You were not alone. You cannot measure the presence and you cannot measure cold. You can only measure the presence and absence of heat. And you cannot measure evil. You can only measure the presence and absence of God. And you have been to some places where God is there, but his influence is not received. Joseph remained faithful. Look at Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You're going to see today in Joseph's life the evidence of his faith. When no one else probably, I probably would have failed had I been in his shoes, but Joseph lived a life of godly character. Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Joseph is a type of Christ. His life pictures the life of Christ. Joseph was the beloved son of Jacob. Joseph was a suffering servant, and Joseph became the savior of his people. So starting in Genesis chapter 37, if you'll look at Genesis chapter 37 and follow along with me. In verse number 1, the Bible says, Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, and in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father an evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Joseph was the beloved son of Jacob. Jesus is the beloved son of our Heavenly Father. In Matthew 3 and verse 17, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased," Jesus said at his baptism. In Matthew 17 and verse 5 on the Mount of Transfiguration, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Joseph had a special name. The name Joseph means abundance. Jesus also had a special name. Jesus means Jehovah saves. Here in Genesis 37 in verse 5, we see that Joseph was hated by his brethren. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren. And they hated him yet more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheep." And his brethren said unto him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet more for his dreams and for his words. Joseph was hated by his brethren. He told them, "I will one day reign over you." Well, Jesus was also hated by his brethren. Matthew chapter 26. Listen to what the Bible reads in Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 64 through 68. The Bible reads, "Jesus said unto him, Thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witness? Behold, now we have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. Then they spit in his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee?" Jesus was also hated by his brethren. Joseph was sent to his brethren. Look at Genesis chapter 37 and verse 12. "And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brother feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said, Here am I." Jesus also was sent unto the brethren. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10. The Bible reads, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." Joseph was scorned by his brothers, as we saw in Genesis 37 and verse 4. Jesus was also scorned by his brethren. It says in John 1 that he came unto his own and his own received him not. In John 15 and verse 24, they denied him to his face. So Joseph was not only the beloved son, just like Jesus. Joseph was also the suffering servant. Look at Genesis 37 and verse number 18. "And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him." Jesus was also conspired against to be slain. Matthew 26 and verse 3, the Bible reads, "Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and they consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him." Joseph also suffered abuse. Look at chapter 37 of Genesis and verse number 23. "And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, they stripped Joseph out of his coat and his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty and there was no water in it." Jesus also suffered abuse. Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 26, the Bible reads, "Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when they had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus unto the common hall and gathered him unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe." Both of these men were sold for the price of a slave. You know the story. Joseph was sold to the Midianites, who then was sold to the Egyptian. In the Bible, it says in Psalm chapter 41 and verse number 9 that Jesus was also sold for 30 pieces of silver, which was the price of a slave. In Psalm chapter 41 and verse number 9, The Bible reads, "Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, had lifted up his head against me." They were sold by their brethren. Joseph was sold by Judah. It was Judah who had the idea. Let's not kill him. Let's sell him. That's Genesis 37. Jesus was also sold by Judas. One is an Old Testament name. The other one's a New Testament name. So not only was Joseph the beloved son, like Jesus, and the suffering servant like Jesus, Joseph became the savior of his people. Look at Genesis chapter number 41. Genesis chapter number 41 and verse number 38. And Pharaoh said, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater." And Pharaoh said, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, "Bow the knee." And he made him ruler over the land of Egypt. You know, Joseph was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and he found himself in prison. He interpreted the dreams of the baker and the butler, but yet was still forgotten in prison for 2 years. Jesus also was falsely accused by the Pharisees before Pilate. Joseph was exalted to rule. Jesus also is exalted and crowned by the Father to rule. Listen to what it says in Revelation 19 and verse 12. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written which no man knew but himself. He would be exalted. Joseph was given the name Savior in Genesis 41 and verse 45. They called his name Zaphath-Paneah, which means Savior. Jesus also has the name Savior. In Matthew 1:21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." In Genesis 41 and verse 43, everyone was commanded to bow the knee to Joseph. Everyone will one day bow before Jesus. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 11, the Bible tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, and every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. In Genesis 41 and verse 45, Joseph was given a Gentile bride. And he gave unto him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Jesus also will receive a Gentile bride. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter number 19 and verse 6. "And I heard a voice of a great multitude and the voice of many waters, and said, and as the voice of the mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Joseph was the only hope for a dying people in Genesis 41. In Genesis 41 and verse 46, "And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh the king. And Joseph went out in the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land. And in the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in cities, and the fruit of the field was round about every city. He laid up the same." People would come to him for grain, to preserve life. Jesus also would be the hope for a dying people. In Acts 4 and verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Joseph's provision was without number. Look at verse 49. "And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number." Jesus' provision for our hungry soul is without end. Romans 10, verse 11, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What's crazy about this is the fact that Joseph was also a seeking Savior. When his brethren came from Canaan to buy corn, they did not recognize him. And in Genesis chapter 45, he reveals himself to his brethren. His brethren would have never known it was him had he not said something, had he not reached out to them. He could have thrown them in prison. He could have had them killed. He could have done away with them. But instead, he loved the unlovely. He forgave the unforgivable. Just like Jesus. Genesis 45 and verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out for me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer, for they were troubled at his presence. You'll never know who Jesus is had it not been revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. Had God the Father had not drawn you, had Jesus had not gone to the cross, had the Word of God not been there to stir your heart, you would not know. We would have no knowledge of him. Jesus reveals himself to his brethren the same in John 20. Remember, they're out fishing, and he said, "Have you caught anything?" And they're like, "No." He says, "Well, come and dine." He's got bread and fish on the fire, and he said, "It's me." Remember, he came into the empty room, or to the locked room, and just goes, "It's me. Handle me and see." Joseph forgave and restored his brother in Genesis 45 and verse 4. And Joseph said to his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." This tragedy that I have experienced, God has turned into triumph, and he gives them the invitation, "Come unto me." Joseph is the champion for God because he lived by faith. You know, later on, after Jacob dies, his brothers think for sure Joseph is going to bring vengeance on us. And Joseph says, "No, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good." You know, Jesus also restores us. This at lunch today, we were talking to one of our little children in our church, and Sarah was relating to them how God died for us. But yes, God, and she said, "Would you die for a friend?" You know, Jesus died for his enemy. Romans 5:8, "But God hath commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." From the world's point of view, Calvary was heaven's greatest tragedy. But from God's point of view, Calvary was earth's greatest triumph. When hell was doing its worst, heaven was doing its best. You have that same invitation that Christ offered, that we could come and be with him. Joseph commissioned his brethren in Genesis 45 and verse 9. He said, go get your families and come down to Egypt and be with me. We once rejected him. He had forgiven and received them. It's the same with Jesus. How many times did you and I say no to the gospel? How many times did someone have to witness to you and you said no, but yet God, in his mercy and long-suffering, received you? Jesus commissioned his brethren to go and tell others in Matthew 28, just as Joseph did. He went to those that rejected him and has forgiven them and received them. Jesus gave us the same message that Joseph said. Tell them I'm not dead, but alive. I am at the right hand of the majesty on high. I've made provision for you. I want you to come and live with me forever. This is the gospel according to Joseph right there in Genesis 45. Joseph was a type of Christ. He was a champion of forgiveness. And through all of his adversity, he lived the Christ life. See, the problem we have as Christians, we think that we somehow have to live for God in and of our own power. Well, if you just live for God, you wouldn't have these problems. If you just do this or do that. No, that's not how the life is lived. We are to surrender and let Christ live his life through us. Joseph had no reason to stay faithful to Potiphar or to the Lord when Potiphar's wife came on to him. What did he have? He had nothing. He was a slave. Earthly pleasures was at his fingertips. Yet, for the love of God and the respect of God, he said no to the flesh. He could have been bitter the entire time, not just at his brethren, but at Potiphar for throwing him unjustly into prison. He could have been bitter because the butler and the baker forgot him for 2 whole years in that prison house. He could have been bitter, but instead, he trusted the Lord and let the Lord live the Christ life through him. I think Paul said it best when he said, "Whatsoever I have learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Is Christ living his life through you, or have you bought into the lie of the devil that you somehow have to do it? That there's this do you have to do. There's this stuff you have to achieve for God. And you're, if you just work a little harder and do a little more and push a little harder and sacrifice a little more, God will be glorified. And everything will be pretty. That's not the Christ life. The Christ life is surrendering to Christ who lives his life through us. When you think of the fruits of the Spirit, they're not something you do. They're something you surrender to and Christ loves through you. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy. What's the other ones? Peace. Gentleness. See, instead of being harsh, you surrender and let Christ be gentle through you. What's the next one? Gentleness. Goodness. Goodness. You, instead of being stingy with your benevolence, you surrender and let Christ be good through you. Long-suffering. Is that what you said, Brother Steve? Long-suffering. Instead of being harsh and short-tempered, you surrender to and let Christ live your his life. Not your life. His life. You're dead. We are dead. We were dead in sin and made alive, quickened by Christ. And do you understand that it's not your life? It's his life lived through us. How could Joseph endure that? He went from being the favorite son who would rule over his brethren in the normal fashion, if his father picked him to do so, but yet was betrayed by his brethren, abused by his brethren, sold by his brethren, taken to a foreign land. How did he do that? How did he stay faithful? How did he not let bitterness chew him to pieces? Because it wasn't his life anyway. It was Christ living his life through Joseph. Some 3,600 years later, we are still seeing the image or the type, the story of Christ in the life of Joseph. So let me ask you a question. Do the people that you know, that you have in your family and in your workforce, are they seeing the Christ life lived through you? Are you a type of Christ like Joseph? Joseph faced adversity, but did not let adversity destroy him. He let Christ live his life through him. Joseph didn't let unforgiveness and bitterness chew him up. He let Christ's life live through him. He had the power from God, because Joseph didn't have it in him to forgive. You don't have it in you to forgive, but God, through his grace, can forgive people through you. See, it's not your life. That's how Joseph could be a type of Christ and still be teaching us millennia later, thousands of years later. How? By allowing, submitting to the Christ life and letting Christ live through him. See, Joseph forgave his past hurts. Because forgiveness is an act of will. It's also an act of faith. You're doing it by faith. And our flesh doesn't want to forgive. We want an eye for an eye, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's what we want when someone does us terrible. We get giving and forgiving reversed sometimes. We forgive as an act of devotion to God. We release the person who sinned against us and let God take care of that debt. You haven't truly forgiven someone until you pray for them and ask God to bless them because you're thankful for what God used that betrayal in your life. We forgive by asking the Spirit to lower the veil of forgetfulness so that we don't have to remember the pain, but yet praise God for the good He's used. Forgiving in the present is difficult, but it's God doing it through us. We have a hard time believing that persecution is a good thing. We have a hard time believing that someone betraying us or hurting us is a good thing, but it's good because in the hands of God, it'll be for our good. If Jesus and the apostles were persecuted for the kingdom's sake, what an honor it is for you and I. If our persecutions are small, it's probably because our sacrifices are small. And when the love of God is strong enough in our life, we surrender and let Him even love our enemies through us. People will start to see Jesus like we do in Joseph. Forgiveness, like I said, it's not something you and I just naturally cling to and run to. It's not really in our wheelhouse. It's something we have to trust God to do. How did Joseph become the champion of forgiveness? How did Joseph now be a type of Jesus Christ? You know, I don't believe at the time, as Joseph was stripped of his coat of many colors and thrown into a pit, did he think to himself, well, okay, this is good. This is good. I'm a type of Jesus. He didn't know. When he was sold to the Midianites, he didn't know. The Psalms hadn't been written. Isaiah hadn't been written. None of the other parts of the Testaments had been written other than the book of Job. And he did not know that he would be a type of the Messiah. You understand that now? When he was sold to Potiphar and made to work in the fields as a slave, he didn't know he was being a type of Jesus. Nor when he resisted Potiphar's wife and her sexual advances, he didn't think to himself, well, this is good because I'm a type of Jesus. Who withstands temptation. Look at me. I'm withstanding temptation. No. He was living it day by day without the knowledge you and I have. They say hindsight's 20/20. You and I have the benefits of the Bible and history to learn from. Joseph didn't have that. No. He had made a decision long ago before he ever got sold into slavery. It's not my life. It's Christ living through me. Joseph didn't know that when he was in the jail, he was like Jesus. He didn't. You can talk to him when you get to heaven, but I doubt he's going to say, oh, yeah. When they forgot me for 2 years, I kind of blew it off. Hey, I knew that's how Jesus was. I was just going to be like Jesus. No. He didn't walk into the throne room of Pharaoh after spending all this time as a slave and go, well, it's about time. You know, I'm going to be exalted just like Jesus. No, he was living it day by day by day without the benefit of hindsight. What sustained him? He knew it wasn't his life. Joseph said to his brethren, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, that I would bring to pass this day and save much people. That's what he said in Genesis 50. This is what he said at the end of his life. You brothers, my brothers who were supposed to love me, you meant it for evil, but I know God meant it for good. How are you supposed to forgive? How are you supposed to live and let people see Jesus? Because you're in the middle of it. Some of you are in the middle of some very difficult things that you're going through at work, or you're going through at home, or you're going through in just your own physical body, and you say to yourself, how do I live it? How do I do this? The same way Joseph did. Day by day, it's not my life. It's Christ's life living through me. It's not me trying harder. It's not me doing more. It's not me exerting all this energy. No, it's me surrendering and saying, I'm yours. Today and always, I'm yours. So Joseph a type of Christ. Even though he's dead, he still teaches us. And brothers and sisters, you and I have an expiration date. You and I will not always walk on this planet in this physical form. We will either die or we will be removed when the rapture comes. But if we die before the rapture comes, what testimony have we given our children? What testimony have we given our siblings? What testimony have we given our coworkers? Is it us doing, or is it Christ living? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. This is your opportunity. You know, it's a daily surrender. It's not a one and done, but it starts with one day. It starts with a one day where you say, Christ, live through me, please. Christ, be my not only my Savior, but live your life through me. We are dead and made alive in Christ. It's His life, not ours. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the testimony of Joseph. We're thankful, Father, for how Jesus was correct when he said, search the Scriptures, for they are they that testify of me. And Joseph testified of our Savior all those many centuries ago. And Father, today as we go to work tomorrow, as we take care of our kids tomorrow, as we go about our weekly business, we ask that you would live through us. You would live the Christ life through us. For your glory, for your kingdom, for your name's sake, and that others may be saved. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play, this is your opportunity. Won't you again, afresh and anew, surrender to Christ? If you're not saved, you need to trust Him right now. But won't you surrender to Him tonight as she plays? Come on, let's pray.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. Be like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. What I pray, change my heart, oh God, make it ever true, change my heart, oh
Our Father and our God, I'm thankful for the testimony of Joseph. Father, I'm thankful for the fact that you can do the same thing through us. Father, that you can manifest yourself, you can live the life of Christ through us if we'll only surrender. God, help us as your people to be that Christ carrier, that type, that image, that the only Bible some people will even read. We pray, God, and that they may come to know Christ as we do. Father, glorify yourself now. Bless us as we go about our fellowship time tonight. And we thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way.